WEEM Weekly is a bi-weekly podcast produced here at 91.7 WEEM that provides information and fun conversations about and with the Madison County community. You can find previous and upcoming episodes at 91.7WEEM.org or wherever podcasts can be found. Thank you for tuning in to 91.7 WEEM podcast, WEEM Weekly.
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of WEEM Weekly. I'm Brooklyn Schuyler, and I'm joined by
Caitlin Cowan.
That was like our sixth try.
Yeah, well, she's struggling, guys. It's okay.
It's like so early in the morning.
It is by the time we're filming this. But welcome to episode two. Today, we're going to be talking to a few peoples.
We got PLTW, we got esports, we got
Trap, from aka the straight play for Pendleton Players. I forgot what it was, and I'm in it. So,
well, yes. Coming up first is Inner Thoughts with Braden and Logan.
This is WEEM Weekly Inner Thoughts. I'm Braden Oxier and
Logan Romine.
Today we're going to be talking about a play that just recently happened at our school, the Trap, and the esports team. It is pretty cool that we actually have a department that lets us do plays like all that often.
Yeah, it's awesome. I am a part of that department. I just recently tried out for Legally Blonde. Trap. Great show. I highly recommend if you ever get a chance, if any other production is doing it, go watch it. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. What is the Trap about?
It's about this group of people, 241 of them all fall unconscious in a theater, and a detective and a girl are trying to solve the mystery. And it's like, it's based on documentaries, like it's interviews and it's a documentary style play. So the detective and who was my girlfriend Sadie, you'll see more from her, and another one called Reagan, who was Angela, who's the girl later. She was trying to solve the case, and she met with this girl named Angela, who is the lone survivor, and they essentially go back to the theater and try and figure out exactly what happened and how to save all the people that fell unconscious. So it turns out it was this group of things called Pharanox, which are people, like not really people, but they imitate people. Yeah. And they feed on the fear of humans. So they'll trap people in the theater and then they'll essentially scare them to death and feed on that fear. And then after like 2 weeks, the people will die after they fall unconscious.
Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting. I was not able to go and see it, but my sister said it was amazing when she went to go see it. What was your role in the play?
So I was an audience plant, which means I wasn't actually an onstage member. I was a member of the cast that was put in the audience in order to increase like the tension and stuff. So at the beginning I took a phone call, which was scripted. It kind of made me look like I was like, you know, a bad person for, you know, having my ringer on in the theater. But I was part of the play and it was meant to create like an uneasiness, because it was right after like a big old light fall off. So like my phone would blare out. And then later in the play, I actually get killed. And that's really fun because I would fall in front of the entire audience out of nowhere. And I'd just scream and I'd fall down. The second night, it hurt a lot because I actually bounced because I didn't catch myself. But yeah.
That sounds painful. So was this the favorite play that you have ever done?
Straight play, yes. Musical-wise, so far it's been All Shook Up, which was last year's fall musical. And that was all Elvis songs, which is what I really like. So, yeah.
Yeah. I've heard some of Elvis, and he's pretty cool. That play sounds cool. I'll probably remember to go to this one. Well, next up in our next segment, Brooklyn and I will be talking to an esports member. So, we're going to talk about that pretty quickly. It is pretty cool that our school does have an esports team.
Yeah. I have a friend who's in the esports team. He's top 50 in the state for Smash Bros.
Yeah, what? Who is he?
His name's EJ. He's great. He's in choir with me. He's also in theater. He was part of Trap. He was actually a lead in Trap, too. He was a firefighter, and he was helping to save everyone, which was really cool.
Yeah. You want to explain what Smash Bros. Is?
Super Smash Bros. Is a platform-based fighting game. So if you don't know what that is, it's essentially like, it's 2D, and you're a character, and you're on this platform with another person who's playing, and you're essentially fighting each other to see who can beat the other person first. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like Mario, if there was other people and you were fighting each other, for people who didn't understand what we were trying to explain. Yeah, it is pretty cool. Do you happen to play any competitive games?
Competitive-wise, I play Overwatch and Rocket League. Yeah. primarily Overwatch, but I do enjoy Rocket League because it doesn't make me as angry as Overwatch does.
Yeah, because for me, at least, I'm so bad at it that it's I know I'm going to lose going into it because I'm not good at driving a car into a ball in a virtual world.
Yeah, for you who don't know what Rocket League is, it's just car soccer. Yeah. So
just imagine you like took your Ford F-150 and a Cybertruck and threw them into a arena and told them to hit balls in the goals. And that's pretty much
yeah.
it. Yeah, speaking of that, they did just add the Cybertruck
recently. They did add the Cybertruck.
Which is crazy that that car has gotten that big that it's in video games and it is like such a huge meme and phenomenon. And
yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Well, in our next segment, Brooklyn and I will be talking to a member of the esports team and interviewing them about that.
That's great. And that's all the time we have for you today. We'll see you next time.
Yeah. Thank you guys for watching this Inner Thoughts segment
of WEEM Weekly.
This was WEEM Weekly. See ya.
Welcome to another segment on WEEM Weekly. Once again, I'm Caitlin Cowan, and today I am here with
Sadie Maves
and Reagan Brown.
Logan Romine.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about Trap, and I'm very excited. Okay, so my first question for you guys, what was your favorite part of Trap? We'll get the easy questions out of the way.
I really, really enjoyed getting to scream on stage and just like basically acting scared the entire time because it was just really fun to be able to see the crowd's reactions to like different like scary things.
Okay, Reagan.
I would say Trap is such a dynamic show emotional wise. And I thought it was really cool to be able to play such a dynamic character. She's a teenager who is scared out of her mind. And I thought it was just such a cool part of the show that it showed a different point of view of high school students.
Totally understandable. Logan?
I liked when I died. That was great. Because every night I would try and reach out to her. Like a little bit farther. And then the second night, I killed him. My rib cage on the ground. It hurts.
Sam told me about that. I heard it.
I was so right bad. Next to him. Oh, and I was like, really scared.
I bounced. It hurt so bad.
First of all, actually, I should have asked this question before, but like, say the names of your characters that you guys played.
The name of my character was Gwendolyn Hesh, or just like Detective Hesh. And basically, she was a detective trying to figure out the entire story, interviewing people, and basically just like kind of the narrator of the entire story, kind of following it along, trying to figure out what happens.
My character's name was Angela, and she, out of the entire audience, was the only one that survived. And she was a teenager, and the first part of the story is she's on stage and she's doing a 911 call, and it's she's just supposed to be scared the whole time. She goes into a psych ward, so she's not mentally okay, but yeah.
I interviewed her.
And Logan, your character?
I was cell phone guy. I took a phone call at the beginning of the play. I was also the fallen boy, so she did kill me. That was great. I did get to scream when I woke up. That was very fun because they did wake me up.
Yeah, very, very loud. My character, I played Candelaria Ortiz, and she was basically like almost like a narrator, and she gave like information like foghorns are a phenomenon called dual tones. I still memorized all my lines, but I loved playing her. She just knew everything, you know. Yeah, and she was kind of like a partner to Hesh, even though they never interacted in the show. But to give like a little synopsis on what Trap is about, Logan, you want to explain?
Oh, I got it. Okay. So I've had to do this so many times, you don't even know.
Oh, got
it. So it's basically 241, is that right?
241 people.
Yeah. So 241 people fall unconscious in a theater.
One by one.
One by one, yeah.
One by one.
Yeah, they used the analogy of it cooking because it went from the inside out. Anyway, so yeah, like, they actually did in the show.
Like the, what they mean by inside out is that basically the sides, the outside in is that the sides fell over first.
Oh,
and
I
then
see
it
saying.
Worked its way in, and then everybody.
Bro, I'm
was
in
gone.
The show and I didn't even know that.
Yeah, like 200 people fall unconscious one by one.
Yeah, and then so basically, she's a detective. She gets assigned the case. She has to do this thing with the slush pile. There's this guy. His name is Daniel. I don't remember his character's name.
Oh, he played like Marion Jay.
Yeah, he played five characters.
His important his relevant character was Marion Jay. He was a guy. He studied a thing called Pharinox, which are the main bad guys in the thing. They're like cicadas, but like they're people. They're not really
cicadas. Is
they
crazy.
Like, they imitate people, but they like they feed on like the like adrenaline that people have.
They feed on fear.
Yeah, that was your thing.
That was my line. Yes, yeah. They feed on fear.
I kill Marion Jay. Accidentally, not on purpose.
Yeah, you didn't answer his emails. You ghosted him.
I didn't answer his emails. I tried to hang up the phone on him, and then.
Well, to be honest, this play took place in 2024, so it could have been a scam. Like, yeah, you exactly. Never
know.
Totally
hello,
been a scam.
I'd like to send you money. I know about the Pharinox.
But he was talking very seriously about these things.
Yeah. Right.
In every single email, and I just like completely ignored his emails, and then he just dies.
So now we know the synopsis, but let's go into like backstage stuff. So what was your guys' like favorite backstage memory? I'll go first. My favorite backstage memory was just Connor in general. He would always do something really weird.
Connor.
He would like one time Connor and Memphis actually. They brought in like this wooden piece just from the scene shop, and then he pretended it was like a cigarette just for like 5 minutes. And it was crazy. But the amount of times I had to tell that man to shut up because we were backstage.
He missed his cue.
He missed his cue on the first opening night. But
it's okay. I love him.
Yeah, that's my favorite backstage memory. Sadie, what's yours?
I have like two that I like remember. Mm-hmm. One of them is that like, I think it was the first day of the show and somebody left the leaf blower out backstage.
Oh.
And I think it was Reagan.
It was me. It was me that grabbed it first
and started blowing it in people's faces.
I have a video of that. Yeah.
And Connor, like blowing it in his face was so funny because it's like the way he would react.
Yeah.
And Connor's then, just a funny guy. Connor is such a funny guy.
He's hilarious.
He
Reagan.
My favorite memory, I would say, so I come on in the first section of the play and then I'm not on for about 30 to 45 minutes and I have nothing to do. So I would always go across the stage over to the stage manager's desk. Her name is Mariana and she's my best friend. And we would sit there and we would color during the show. We just color a bunch of coloring sheets and they're all like they're not those like elaborate ones either. They're like. I wanted to bring in my Peppa Pig coloring book one day, and like she had a bunch of animal ones, so that was one of my favorite parts.
That was gonna be one of my second ones.
Yeah,
was sitting backstage, and when Daniel came over,
we colored
to
so
Mariana's
much.
Oh my gosh, Daniel
book.
Is a menace backstage.
And
Daniel's
he
not real.
Picked up.
There's no way he's a real person.
For real,
he picked up a piece of paper out of her coloring book,
and he
she's
picked
a video
up
of
a
it.
Coloring pencil or like. Crayon or whatever, and then just scribbled over like at least 5 pages in the coloring book, just like fully scribbled, and then wrote his name in all bolded letters saying that that was now his and that it did not belong to her anymore, and then just like walked away.
Logan, what's your favorite backstage memory?
See, that's great. I was never backstage. I was.
Oh, that's right.
Plant.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. I do have a memory though.
Okay.
The first night of the show, I came. With two people, both
oh my gosh,
Lily.
I love this.
It was the best experience I have ever had
oh.
because they were terrified.
Yeah.
And I was messing with them the whole show. It was the most amazing thing I've ever done.
I say this one line at the end, and it's this. It goes through this entire thing of you die when someone whispers in your ear, can I tell you a secret? And I get to pick a person every night to say, can I tell you a secret, and stare at them. And I picked the two people he went with. And they both came to me after and they were like, that was the most terrifying thing I've ever seen in my life.
See, I'm so glad that people actually found it scary because from my perspective, they just found it funny.
Yeah.
And I hated that because like,
I don't know.
Take it seriously, people.
Towards
I just
the
wanna...
end, it like people
exactly.
were laughing,
yeah.
but like,
that
I talked to
sound
people
like
later.
A nervous laugh to me.
I talked to people later and they were like, we were laughing because we were scared.
Okay.
And we didn't know what else to do because there was this one girl, I'm forgetting her name, but she came up to me after the show and she said she was absolutely terrified the entire time. And then she got a no caller ID.
Addison.
Yeah, it was Addison. She got a no caller ID at the very end of the show.
I would be.
And then she had to go home alone.
I would have been out of there.
I would have been out of there.
Wow.
And she said she literally didn't sleep that night when she went home.
Interesting, interesting.
So I think people definitely found it scary.
I'm so glad, because I also talked to Micah after the show and they were just like, am I going to die?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Gosh.
The answer is yes.
So one more question for me. Let's see. What is your guys' favorite fire up chant? So if you guys don't know, we theater kids, before the performance, we always have a fire up. So and we always do chants. So what's your favorite chant?
I really like the, like, peel the orange, that one.
Oh.
Like, or, like, ride the Arabian, or, like, the one that we always do is, like, brush the mullet and then rock the mullet, but we always say cut the mullet.
Yeah.
So it's, like, those types of chants I think are fun because they're interactive and you get to do them with your friends.
Yeah. Okay. I would say my favorite fire up. Oh, that's hard. I would say boom chicka boom. And so there are always these two people who lead the chants, and you repeat after them, and then you change, like,
Valley girl
style or
janitor style.
But this time, style. This run through, Daniel did Ohio style.
Oh my Lord.
No.
And I swear. And might I just say that was the most incredible moment of my life.
It made no sense.
It made absolutely no sense, but
said,
it was so funny.
Can I get a skibbity skibbity as one of his things?
And then he kind of just crashed out and
then said,
forgot
can
anything.
I get a skibbity riz yacht skibbity yacht riz or something at the end? And everybody just stopped and stared and then laughed.
It's so weird. Logan, do you have a favorite chant?
For this show, I was, in fact, the second night I wasn't there because I had tennis and I had to run over for my tennis match.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first night, I was at McDonald's. I was at Wendy's with Nate Ferryman getting fries and a drink prior to the performance.
I just want to say that Nate and Logan pulled through because during a rehearsal, they went and got me a Sprite. Just saying.
Oh, that's so nice. But
they didn't give me anything.
You didn't. You either. Were busy on stage. Thank you.
So was I.
Okay.
You were backstage for that time because you were off for your like 35-minute like break.
Anyways,
well,
what's your favorite fire up chant, dude?
The roller coaster.
Got it.
Oh, yeah, when we did that.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't do that this time around, but that's okay. We probably will. Logan, let's move on to your questions.
Okay, what was it like when, like, you first got the audition? Like, how was your audition?
How was my audition? Oh, I always have this habit of getting sick before every single audition I do, and it has been that way.
Because you're stressed.
Since my first show in eighth grade. Like, I literally had COVID eighth grade.
Dang.
And then, like... But this is the one audition that I had not gotten sick before. And so I was like, okay, I'll just go in there, you know, try it, I guess. I've never done a straight play. I've always done musicals.
Yeah.
And I went in there and literally the first couple minutes was just me talking to Miss Brown and Jim about like the most random things, what I think the musicals are. And then I read the lines and then I was just like, okay. I think I did okay. Yeah. And then I got, like, compliments. Like, Jim talked to me about how he thought my audition was good and stuff. And then I just left, and I thought that I did pretty okay. But I did not expect to be getting the lead.
Yeah, right. Regan?
So I came there early in the morning to hang out with Mariana because she was all by herself. So I just sat there for a while. But I felt really unprepared, because I had so many things going on right before. So I was scared into my mind. So I went up there and I was like, hey, I'm just going to do my best. So I did it. And after all the auditions were done, I went up and I said, that was the worst audition I've ever done in my life. And Jim goes, be quiet. And I was like, okay. And 'cause they're both like all the time, they're like, stop doubting yourself, which I love about both of them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought it was one of my not greatest ones, but as it turns out, this was probably one of my most challenging acting roles that I've ever done.
That makes sense for you, because you usually play a character that's like a teenager who is so like upbeat and like so you. It's you. Yeah. It's literally you in real life. And then now you're playing this character who's like not schizophrenic, but like has a medical condition and is just like terrified the whole time.
I got to explore so many different sides because I walk through the hall. I'm such a bubbly person, yeah, and I love talking to people and I love people. And it just was such a cool and different perspective that I got to have seeing all these people, because I walk through the hallways and some people are like this on a daily basis and I'm never like that, unless I'm sad, but I just thought it was such a interesting role to play. And even though I was not prepared for the audition at all, I think that I was able to learn more about other people in my school.
Awesome.
Well,
Logan?
Since I didn't audition,
yeah,
because I just showed up, how was your audition?
My audition was the best one I've ever done. I memorized all the lines and it was so funny. So Sam always practices with me with my lines and he like reads it for me or like to make sure I'm doing anything wrong. And every time I would get frustrated and I got a word wrong, I would slap him because he was the only one there. I wouldn't slap him on the face. I'd just be like,
I kind of did the same thing.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a process,
poor
but
Stella. I didn't Stella
slap
got the,
her.
Stella got the brunt of our learning lines because me and Sadie always played off of each other.
Right.
So it was so hard to memorize our lines because it was always like call and response between us. Mm-hmm. So I went over to her house one day and poor Stella, her sister, had to sit through us messing up our lines over and over again till
we
got it right.
Doing our nails, like we were actively sitting there doing our nails and saying our lines, and we could not remember them for the life of us because we kept laughing. And she just sat there looking at us as we messed up the lines, and then was like, "Start over. That's not right." And I was like, "It's probably not, but that's you know what?"
But anyways, yeah. And even for this audition, I actually dressed up. So I was auditioning as Keda, who is a zoologist. And I dressed up as the zoologist. I was like, hey, I'm a zoologist now. And I honestly thought I would get that role, but I didn't expect to get something higher than that. But I'm very grateful. I know it has a lot to do with like being a senior. And because this is my first time ever being in the straight play. I always did tech for all 4 years. But I'm very grateful. That's all the time we have for the segment. Thank you all so much for coming in. Honestly, I might bring you guys back for the Legally Blonde and SpongeBob because
this is fire.
Honestly, fire. I just love doing theater segments.
I just think it's cool, and I feel like I'm like a podcaster now, and I love it.
I love it.
Welcome to WEEM Weekly, Regan.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Logan. We're replacing you.
No!
Anyways.
Go. Be gone.
On to the next segment. This is WEEM Weekly.
Now here's a short promotion before our next segment.
Check out our podcast, Inside the Playbook, featuring Aiden Wilson, Michael Hooker, Liam Davis, Kellen Bowers, Lucas Williams, Jonathan Lambert, and Zion Palmieri as they talk about all things to do with sports. You can find Inside the Playbook wherever podcasts can be found or on our YouTube at 917-WEEM-WEEM Media.
Welcome back to another segment of WEEM Weekly. I'm Bray Noxier, and I'm joined by
Luke Denniston,
Brian Waltermeyer,
and Brooklyn Schuyler.
We will be interviewing them about esports today and probably some other topics. Brooklyn, do you want to get them started off with a question?
Yeah, so before we get into all the little details about esports, could you guys give us a basic overview of what esports is?
Sure, basically. That's a good way to start. Well, esports is basically, everyone thinks of esports as video games. It's actually the collective organized competition of video games, usually in a tournament or a league style format where there's a prize at the end. In our case, it's a state championship, but it's really just overall anything that compete is a competition as far as video games go. It has to be a video game that has a competition aspect to it as well.
So you have like, do you have requirements for your games?
We have, so in the games, in the league that we play in, we have, there's a committee that comes up with like the popular titles that the high schoolers will be most interested in. And then they form a whole rules committee to come up with like the rules of the competition, and then set up the league format, divide up the schools by the size, just like any other athletics are in the IHSAA. And so we're competing against other schools about our size, like Anderson and so on. And we'll play a 12-week season, which leads to a playoff later on, and then we play hopefully for the state championship.
And then where is that state championship? Where are the competitions held?
Mostly they've been held in over at Ball State, but that's not a fixed location where they hold it at. They usually take bids to see where it's at. Usually it's somewhere around Central Indiana, try to get a centralized location for Northern Indiana schools and Southern Indiana schools to kind of meet in the middle, and it's easier for everybody to get to.
Okay, cool. I think that I had no clue that IHSAA was a part of esports.
It's not an official IHSAA sport, sanctioned sport yet. There are some schools that give out athletic letters for esports. But when it comes to what we compete in a organization called IEN, Indiana Esports Network, and specifically our division of that is IHSEN, which is Indiana High School Esports Network, where all the high schools are together. There's also a separate one for the middle school section, and then there's a unified esports as well.
So this is something that we do here all throughout middle school and high school?
Personally, here we compete only in high school, but as this program grows, I'm the only person part of as far as the club goes right now. We have room to grow into the middle school and also into the unified esports sections, but that will require more resources and more staff members to help in with that as we grow on. We're only in, I believe, year 5 or 6 of this, so.
Okay, so you guys have been established for quite some time, maybe not as much as some of the other ones. I know we just talked to PLTW, and they've been here for, like, 20 years.
Yeah.
But pretty established. What would you say, like, has been maybe a challenge of establishing esports or just a program in general?
Well, I'd probably say the biggest thing is to get through some of the early-on hurdles. I wasn't very keen on like how, as far as, cause this is kind of a new space as far as the state goes as well. We've been playing in the esports network as long as it's been around, and so as they're trying to get all their rules set up and how the schools are set up and everything, we are also trying to establish ourselves inside of the our school district here, and the challenges that have come across just been kind of just learning curve and just learning how to, you know, learning how the rules are set up and how to go about, you know, recruiting, set up, how to with transportation and stuff like that.
So you're kind of like building a foundation on a building foundation,
right?
Like, it's not done yet, but you're getting there.
Right. Yeah. We're not anywhere. Even though we're in year 5 or 6 of this, we're still at the beginning stages of this. There's no like set thing. There's no, legacy to this at all. There's none of the, like I said, we're the only one, high school is the only level that has esports right now, as far as our district goes. So there's nothing to lead into this. Like, whereas the other clubs, in the school have a lead in or somewhere that's associated in with like getting the word out that it exists. Esports doesn't have that. So building a following and getting our name out there, it's been kind of rough in the beginning, but as we went through the years, we've gotten lots of support from the administration at central office and here at the high school. And we've slowly started building ourselves up, and we've gotten a full set lab to be able to do what we need to do with what games we compete in. And so it's gotten a lot better as the years have went on. So
I think that's super nice, especially like, obviously, I'm a junior here at the high school. And so going to like radio or something like that, you're kind of have like an already established land, but, with something like this, people that are seniors or maybe 1 year graduated have been here since the beginning and kind of like, I don't know. I think that'd be nice to like build on and see the progress and all the things.
Right.
All right, Luke, do you want to talk a little bit about the games that you guys play?
Yeah. So currently we have teams at our high school for Super Smash Bros., chess, Tetris, and Valorant. And we do have the ability to play other games if we had teams for them, but we don't have players to play all these games or necessarily set up to play as all the games, because there are a lot of games that we could play.
Yeah, and a lot of games that, I mean, my little brother is actually in esports, so I feel like he talks all about it, but I feel like there's a lot of like competing games. So how do you guys like decide what you're going to do that year? Is it just based on popularity?
We have different teams. Like each player plays on one specific team. It's not like we only play one game each year. So like, we've got a, like each team is their own individual thing and they practice with each other for their specific game.
Okay. And then what team are you on?
I'm on the Super Smash Brothers team.
And then can you be on multiple teams? Is that possible?
kind of. It's really depending on circumstances. I think you can be on the chess team as well as another video game. And, I think occasionally, if we need extra players, you might be able to play too.
Have you been to any competitions yet?
Yeah, I go to a couple every year. One of the big ones is over at Manchester University, one of the biggest in the state, and a few players from the Super Smash Bros. Team have been going there for the last couple of years.
And then what does a competition look like, I guess, for your team or for you personally or anything like that?
Well, a competition would be, we sign up ahead of time, go, typically carpool there. And, then once the team's there, we'll all meet up for a little bit before the tournament starts. And then we've got pooling, brackets typically to feed into a top 32 bracket. And it's just double elimination tournament till the last one standing, 1v1s.
Yeah, so very competition.
Mm-hmm.
Brayden, do you have any questions you want to ask?
Yeah, I got one. So, like, how has this changed your overall high school experience?
I would say that this has definitely impacted my high school experience for the better. It's taught me good leadership skills, good teamwork skills, and just general problem solving. I'd say it's definitely helped me be able to think on my feet faster, just all sorts of aspects that just, oh, and the friends have been amazing. It's like a big community of tight-knit friends. It's just like, I'll still play with some of the alumni from time to time. It's just whole family.
I think PHHS programs do a really well, like really good job of their programs, not really just staying in a box, I guess, of what they teach. I think that, I know with radio, we have the creativity, but we also like learn leadership skills and we learn to communicate and be social and all the things. And we just talked to PLTW and they are very, I mentioned it earlier today. I said that it was kind of like building your brain because you're building fundamental like core things through maybe something that you wouldn't think you would be getting those skills at. So I think that PHHS does a really good job of like, and all the programs do a really good job of building those core ideas with programs.
Yeah, I agree. I also want to say that when it comes to, there's certain aspects that I try to get out of my kids as far as like leadership goes. Like, for instance, Luke is the captain for the Super Smash Brothers team. And I constantly challenge him to because I have a background in esports. I used to play esports myself when I was younger, and I tried to transfer all this, like trying to get them ready to go out and compete in these kind of different situations, because esports is the way it's more like track and field, basically. There's different, like high jump and discus are two different things. That's where we're at with esports. We have different, there's different types of games that are totally different than any of the other ones. So a fighting game is not my forte, but Luke, that's what his special forte is. So he spreads his knowledge of the things that he's learned along the way onto the people that he plays with, his the rest of his team. And then as they go through, he graduates out. Now we have the members who have been in his shoes for him, you know, now they're leaders of the team, and now they're sharing their knowledge down. And it's been kind of a interesting thing now that I've had basically two sets of groups of people graduate out now, that we're in like a third generation now of teaching going below. And we haven't done any, as a group, we haven't done any going out to land tournaments. All the land tournaments that they've done, they've went out by themselves to go do, because they're private tournaments. They're not anything with the schools associated yet. But as we grow and grow further, I want to go into these different competitions and actually compete as Pendleton and try to get trophies out of it. So yeah, it's been an amazing experience of all this, the way that they've learned the leadership and the problem solving and critical thinking skills, and how they're willing to share with each other. And, you know, it really is kind of like a family aspect because of all the kids that have went before them and where they're at now.
Yeah. And I mean, Luke, you just mentioned like you've played with some alumni. Like, I feel like that really is like what I would think of as a family, as people that stay together, even when, like, you know, the seniors have graduated and stuff like that. Yeah. Brayden, do you have any questions?
Actually, so how do you guys prepare
for competitions?
Yeah.
To prepare for competitions, typically if we're just doing our weekly competitions that we do through the, league, we, will practice for about an hour against each other, make sure everybody gets a couple games in to get warmed up. And then typically we will have the, whoever's currently playing in a match be playing on the big screen, and then we'll have typically players in the background practicing, warming up for when they've got to play.
Okay, so you kind of like, I don't know, I keep thinking of it as like literally a sport. Like, that's exactly how it goes in sports too, so.
Mm-hmm. What equipment do you guys use for this? Because I know you mentioned Super Smash, and that uses a Switch. Do you guys use anything else?
So we've got laptops for the laptop games. We've got Xboxes for our console games. and then, you know, we've got Switches. And then players can choose to use school-provided equipment like keyboards and mouses, or they can bring in their own controllers from home. I know a large majority of the Smash team uses their own controllers. That's what we've got for equipment.
Generally, the different peripherals that the students will use are their own, because they're more used to the way that they feel. Because I mean, it is weird, but controllers, when you use them for a long time, you get kind of used to the way the little things that they do, or the keyboard, the way that it feels when you hit all the keys on it. So it's a lot easier in the headsets, because not all headsets are the same. So it's things like that are important. So I want them to perform at their best level. So I encourage them to bring their own stuff in, use that, because they're used to using that at home. And so that I have the stuff available for them if they need it. For Valorant, they have the laptops and the keyboards and the mice, but they bring their own stuff. Some of them even bring their own laptops. So we have all the tools to do all the games. It's just a comfort thing that they like to bring their own stuff.
Yeah. And that's cool to be able to like bring your own stuff and, I mean, continue after esports is done or the club is done, then I think that's very helpful and very, I know my little brother like talks all about esports. Like that's all he does. He brings his Switch to school and then he'll play it after and he does it all the time and he just loves it.
Yeah, I mean, and another point about it is, okay, going further, when esports is done, people, when Luke goes to like Manchester to compete, as a solo guy, there's colleges there watching. And when we're streaming our games on YouTube, there's coaches from other colleges and high schools that are watching. And so the gameplay that they see, I mean, I've gotten several questions about several of my students throughout the years about, you know, hey, I want to talk to so-and-so because I'm kind of interested in how they're playing. This leads to scholarships going into college. And so if I want my kids to perform at a high level because I know that they're all watching. And so, and we've had one scholarship student already who graduated 2 years ago. He went to Trine with a 4-year scholarship. Wow. And so, and we've had 5 different other kids go to college to play esports. They didn't have scholarships, but we've had many successful kids go on past high school play at the next level. So it's exciting for me because that's my goal is to basically we start with high school esports and you know working as a team and stuff like that, but I want to motivate them to go to the next level and use esports as an anchor to go into the next level. And it's not only competition, people who can get scholarships. It's also, like Luke helps me with social media stuff for the club. They look for social media managers all the time for scholarships for that. Different, all colleges look for that. Event organizers and stuff like that. There's scholarships for that. So esports is not just about if you're not good at a video game, you can still get an esports scholarship. If you have the passion to go into esports, the opportunities are there for you.
Yeah, adding off of that, like for esports, you could even be in there just to like shoutcast games or something. If you got a lot of knowledge in a game and you're not particularly great, you could always just shoutcast for that if you wanted, you know?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different little like sub-departments almost to esports. And I think that's super helpful, especially like in a high school setting because you want to be inclusive and you want to be able to add everyone. And I think that's exactly how you would do that or go about that. At least doesn't Butler have like an esports program?
Yeah, they do.
We saw that. We went to a competition for radio and we saw, and it's like this huge building and it's super, it looks super cool, but have you guys maybe been there?
I haven't been there. I've seen pictures of it. Multimedia, a multi-million dollar, project that they've done. It's been open for a handful of years now. That's actually one of the sites that could be the state championship site this year. It's in the middle of there's a bid battle going on. Like I've said, Ball State's been the host the last 2 years. 2 years ago, Luke went with me to the state championships just to watch and like take it all in and stuff. And they have a wonderful esports facility. And now it's starting to catch on that now more and more of the universities are starting to build their own big multi-million dollar, you know, arenas, basically. That's what Ball State has is a mini arena inside of I believe that's the David Letterman building, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's really crazy to see where from when I was playing esports to where it's come to now, where a lot of universities are spending lots of money on this, and they're using it as a recruiting tool to get students to come to their university.
Yeah.
So it's actually very it's an exciting time to see where we go next. So.
Yeah, that's really cool, and I hope that you guys keep expanding more on that because I think it's a really cool club and it's a really cool thing that we do here at the high school. And I think, I mean, you guys were talking about it, but it's very inclusive. So I feel like all of that together, like I'd love to see the program grow more. Unfortunately, I think that's all the time that we have.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us for this segment of WEEM Weekly. Again, I was Brayden Oxier.
I'm Luke Denniston.
Brian Waltzmeyer.
And I'm Brooklyn Schuyler.
Thank you guys for coming.
Now here is a short promotion before our next segment.
91.7 WEEM is a student-run radio station providing everything from programming to music to live sports broadcasts and podcasts. But we can't do it without your support. Everything you donate goes to the station that the students operate here at 91.7 WEEM. Donate today at 917WEEM.org. Again, that's 917WEEM.org.
How did PLTW start?
PLTW started in 2005 here at Pendleton Heights. I went to a workshop in Indianapolis. It was at the airport, and the superintendent at the time went to the workshop as well, and we liked what we saw, and that summer we started the program. We converted one of our old metals labs into a computer lab for the software and everything else that we need. And it's, you know, almost 20 years now we've been doing it.
So what does like creating a program or starting a program here at PHHS look like?
Luckily that one was easy. We were able, like I said, we had the support of the administration. The principal at the time here at the high school was supportive, and it was just a matter of letting them know what we needed to teach the program, to teach the classes, and go from there.
So is this program specifically a class, or is it more of a club?
It is specifically a class. We have four different classes that we offer. There's an intro to engineering design, which is primarily freshmen. Doesn't have to be. Then there's a principles of engineering, civil engineering, and digital electronics. Mr. Jesse teaches two of those classes, the principles of engineering and the digital. I teach the intro to engineering and the civil engineering. So we're the only teachers in the school that can teach those classes.
Okay, so it's not like a seniority thing where it's not a program that you get into at your senior year or something like that. It's more just class.
Right. Yeah. They used to say that you had to be a certain grade level to take this class and that so forth and so on, but they've become more flexible. And if, you know, the only thing that is kind of a drawback is the students who want dual credit, because we have two of the classes that are dual credit. If the students aren't juniors or seniors, they cannot get that dual credit when they take those classes. So if they would take civil engineering as a sophomore, they wouldn't be able to get that dual credit, but they could their junior year. So okay. It's just finding the right mix for the kids.
So it's kind of like radio where we have our intro class, obviously, but then it's kind of the same thing, but we've got dual credit classes. Like I'm taking a dual credit class this year. Xander will take it his senior year. It really just depends on like how many classes you take, but could they have multiple like engineering classes?
The same year? Yes. Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't flow well that way. Like if they have the intro and principles, if they're in the principles, they're not going to have some of the knowledge that they need for that class. So it can be done, but it hasn't been done very often.
Yeah. And then like further into the year when you're kind of out of those beginning classes, does it get easier to? I know that you mentioned having like advanced classes. Are those the type of classes that go more frequently, I guess?
The advanced classes, it's kind of hit and miss. For instance, this year I did not teach civil engineering, but Mr. Jesse is teaching digital electronics. So it kind of goes back and forth between both of us with the advanced classes. Unfortunately, it depends on the number of kids in the class. So sometimes we have numbers that we need and sometimes we don't.
I think we've talked a lot about the class, and just to give like a broad overview of what PLTW is.
Okay. PLTW stands for Project Lead the Way, and it is a nationwide pre-engineering program for high school students. It is the same, you know, in Indiana as it is in Kansas, as it is in Oregon. It's the same program across the nation, and it was brought about to just to further students' knowledge in engineering, what it is, and get students interested in engineering, because like back when I was in high school, they didn't have this. It was just, well, take math and science and you'll figure it out. And This program is specifically geared to let them know what engineering is and hopefully grow to like it a little bit.
Yeah, me and Caitlin, we actually just recorded a segment talking about like PLTW just a little bit, and she mentioned that even if it's not something where you're interested in going into engineering later in life, it builds a lot of like problem solving skills and all of that. I said that it like builds your brain because it just builds core functions that you need. Would you agree with that? Is there anything?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's not just, like you said, the problem solving, which is awesome. The kids, I'll throw a problem at them on a Friday. Here's a piece of paper, make a bridge. And it really gets them to think, and you can see the gears turning. Mm-hmm. And the teamwork facet of it. Now that we're, you know, back from COVID, we can finally do group work again. And that's been a really good thing for the program and for the kids.
I'm actually pretty sad. I'm really interested in engineering. Mm-hmm. Like I love engineering. My dad does engineering. I think my brother's awesome. In your engineering class.
Yes. Yes, he is.
So I love engineering. Want to do it. I've been excited about it my whole entire life. And then I got into radio and I was like, oh, well, now I don't have time to take any engineering classes. So now I'm in my junior year and I'm so excited like about radio. I've got 5 classes of radio next year.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I'm like, well, maybe I should have started taking some engineering classes.
I think where you are is a perfect fit for you.
Thank you.
You're doing a great job.
So for PLTW, is there anything that you guys do outside of class?
We do have a couple of, I'll call them field trips. They're competitions. We go to Purdue for the bridge bust in the spring. They also have, and they've moved it to the fall this year, it's called the Engineering Apex. And it is a day where we go to Purdue and they have a certain theme for the competition. Last year, I think it was ecology, and the students, there were some of the activities they had that they got to do were design a filter for water. I'm trying to remember the other ones and I can't right now, but this year the theme is biomedical. So they're going to have some kind of problem to solve when they go up there. The kids split up into teams and the Purdue students are there to kind of help guide them a little bit. They get to eat lunch there on campus, and it's a good day. It gets the kids away from PHHS and takes them to a huge college campus. And a lot of them had never been on a college campus before.
Especially one that specializes in engineering.
Yes.
It kind of gives you like a head start almost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool.
The cradle of astronauts.
Oh, darn it. So you talked about like biomedical being a theme for this year's competition.
Yes.
But does PLTW kind of try to cover other sorts of engineering, like architectural, biomedical, biochemical, those things, biology?
Yes, they do. The problem is finding teachers to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like what I teach and what Mr. Jesse teaches. There's no longer a program for us or for a student that would want to do that. When we went to Ball State, we had a program that was pretty strong. The year I graduated from Ball State, there were 5 to 10 graduates, but the program's gone now. So finding the teachers to come in and teach those project lead the way classes is not that easy. So that's why we're limited here.
So when you said like program, is there a class that you take to be able to teach PLTW, or is it more your classes like an engineering?
Oh, no. There's they call it boot camp, I think. We went to a 2-week training. Mr. Jesse and I actually went to the civil engineering training together so that we'd have the flexibility to either one of us could teach it. But anyway, it's a 2-week class that covers everything for the year in those 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
They said it's like taking a drink of water out of a fire hose. And it's tough. But yeah, we get trained during that intensive Project Lead the Way training for 2 weeks and come back and, you know, teach it to the kids.
Yeah. Fire back out, I guess.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So would you say that when you were doing that teaching did you kind of already have like an idea in mind for like, do you go ride off of what they taught you, or do you kind of manipulate it in your own sense?
There are some things that I kind of tweak to fit the kids' needs and my needs. You know, there may be some things that we spend more time on because the kids are having fun with it and they're really enjoying that project, or, you know, it may be something that we just need to work on a couple days. But Project Lead the Way gives us that flexibility to tweak it the way we need it.
And that's really cool, especially like throughout the years, like you can make things very, very current and very like applicable to people and to your classes, which is, I guess, what you would want from a program like that. Do you guys have any big projects that you're doing right now or in the future?
Not right now. Like I said, I'm just teaching the intro to engineering class. We do a reverse engineering project where the students bring something in from home and take it apart, measure it, and then make all those parts in our 3D modeling software. If there's a part they want to 3D print, we've got a couple 3D printers we can print the parts out on. But that's probably one of the more fun projects that the kids do. We do that right after Christmas. So, right.
And I guess you guys kind of are in like the, what, sixth or seventh week of school?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I always forget that. Although I did think we were in like the fourth week of school last week.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I looked ahead. I was like, oh my gosh, it's 15 days to fall break.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's insane.
So, but I'm kind of excited about that.
Do you, so I'm guessing you guys obviously get more advanced projects throughout the year, but are there any that you look forward to that you do every year?
Like I said earlier, I like the reverse engineering because it's neat to see what the kids bring in to tear apart. But there's a puzzle cube project that they also do where they start off with sketches and then 3D models. And then they actually make the puzzle cube. They get to make a package to contain it with. And that's one of the first big projects that the kids and I really have fun with.
And would you say, like, if you had to generalize, is PLTW more like technology, computer, 3D modeling based, or is it a lot more hands-on? Is it kind of both?
I would say it's more of the design a little bit, maybe 60% design and 40% hands-on. We'd like to have more hands-on, but unfortunately, a lot of times we don't have the money to spend on the equipment we need, so we kind of pare it down a little bit and work with what we've got. So,
and I do think that, especially, I guess now as we get like further into technology and using technology more often, kind of even just going into that design more is probably what most people would see if they go into engineering. So either way, it's kind of a win-win.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of like, I've had kids in the past, they wanted to go into engineering, and then they found out that it wasn't as hands-on as they thought it was going to be, so they went into engineering technology. And that served those kids well. They're successful. It's just, you know, what's your niche? Is it thinking about theory and the formulas and the modeling and stuff like that? Or is it getting out there and getting your hands dirty and designing something and building it?
Yeah. And if you had to pick, so I just think it's interesting, like, when you think of a high school and being a teacher, you think very, like, let's do some math problems. I feel like I would have never thought of, like, radio teachers and construction teachers. But what has been, like, one of your favorite parts of being, like, a engineering teacher?
Oh, gosh. That's a tough one. There's so many. The one thing I really like is getting the kids out of here and taking them other places and seeing them interact with other students, seeing them compete in these competitions. That's probably my favorite part. The thing that I really, really enjoy, and especially over the past 5 to 10 years, when we go up there for the bridge bust, former students that are up there come and see us. And I love seeing those kids and talking to them, seeing how they're doing up there. And that probably is the biggest thing that I enjoy.
And the bridge bust is at Purdue, right?
Yes.
So that's cool seeing them going to like an engineering college, yes. Even Purdue, which is crazy.
Yes, it so. Is. It is. It's neat for them to come back and, you know, see how we're doing and things like that. So,
and how do you guys think that you like expand per year? And I guess what are some of the newer things that are happening that maybe those older students wouldn't have?
Gosh, I don't know that there really is a lot of changes. Sometimes we're able to make some changes and maybe update some of the projects and things we do, but we don't, like I said, it's tough sometimes because it's so expensive. I'm not saying we stick with old technology. We had our computer lab updated just a couple years ago. The software's updated, you know, yearly. So it's, you know, we try and keep it as current as we can.
Yeah. And it's very foundational. Like, I think that's one of the biggest parts about being in like the programs here at the high school is that you can kind of go anywhere with them and you don't need to be very specific. You can just kind of build from there.
Sure. Yeah, I agree.
Well, that is all the time that I think we have for this.
Okay.
But thank you so much for joining us and doing this interview.
Thank you for having me. It was great talking with you. And hopefully we can do it again. Maybe you can come down and get some video of the students working on some projects.
Yeah, for sure. We'd love to. All right. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Hi, and welcome back to WEEM Weekly. I'm Brooklyn Schuyler, and I'm joined by
Caitlin Cowan.
And we're going to be talking all about that PLTW.
That PLTW.
Episode segment.
Yeah, so fun fact, I came up with that idea because I interviewed Mr. Klipsch and Mr. Jesse last year for PLTW. It was kind of like a project thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where we all had to do mini projects. And it was probably like the most fun project I've ever taken on for radio.
Really?
Because I got to like talk to them. I don't know. Jesse and Clips are just really cool guys, cool teachers. I've never had them personally besides I had Mr. Clips for driver's ed, but they're really cool and they were so helpful with the whole process. And I was like nervous the whole time. I was like, oh, I'm leading a group and I don't know what to do. But they gave us all the information we needed and it turned out to be a great project because
that's
of them.
Awesome.
So yeah, it was really fun.
I got really lucky with my group last year, I remember. I had like all of the directors.
Oh, that's right.
In my
you
group.
Did.
Oh, it was the easiest project of my life. And they're all seniors, all directors. I was a little sophomore. I was living my life, except we had like the business classes.
With like Mr. Cloud and something or someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Mr. Rhodes, Mr. Cloud.
But For PLTW, I feel like if I was more into engineering, I would definitely love that class and take that class all throughout high school. It's something, even if you're not into engineering, it's a class where it can help you with literally anything, as Mr. Klipsch has mentioned before. It helps with problem solving skills. It helps with architecture, other stuff.
Yeah, it just kind of builds your brain pretty
it
much.
Builds it your builds your brain. You're building stuff and building your brain at the same time.
Yes, you're developing like fundamental skills that you need in life. And it's kind of ironic because like I don't really have any plans to go into anything radio related. Right?
Oh, okay. Right.
But I have plans to go into engineering related. Never taken a class in engineering. I focus so much on radio. I have 5 classes of radio and yet not one class about engineering, which is what I want to do when I'm older.
Well, maybe you should have taken it. They're still senior year. You still got a year.
Yeah, next up is our homecoming episode. We're going to be talking to...
Homecoming episode, technically.
Yes, homecoming episode. We're going to be talking to some football players about homecoming. Hopefully senior homecoming.
Senior?
Hopefully seniors.
Senior
so that we can
football
talk
players.
About their like experiences throughout the year. I think that would be interesting.
I think that's a good question to ask them. We're also going to be interviewing my dad, who was the sponsor of last year's float for 91.7. So, yes.
And speaking of sponsors, we're talking to the class sponsors.
That as well.
All of the sponsors.
All right. We'll see you then.
That's it.
Bye.
For this episode. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to WEEM Weekly Podcast. Join us next time at 91.7WEEM.org or wherever podcasts can be found.